the Department of Education sorts schools into groups, elementary, middle, high, and combination. It then lists all the schools in rank order, from the number one elementary school in the state to the number 1,795th school, and so on in each category. In all, more than 3,000 public schools have been assigned a number according to how well students performed on the state's FCAT test. In a video message, Department of Education Commissioner Gerard Robinson explains the rankings this way.
And third is to have a conversation about what we can do as citizens to support our public school system and to support reform and innovation across the area.
But the lists have drawn criticism from public school advocates. In the district ranking, the criticism was that poor districts fell to the bottom of the ranking scale and that the state didn't look at the socioeconomic factors of the students. In the new school-by-school list, there's a higher ratio of magnet and charter schools in each category's top 10. Magnet schools have an edge because they cater to students interested in a specialty area, like math and science or the arts. And charters get a boost, according to critics, because they have greater flexibility in who they employ and how they teach. Patricia Levesque heads the Foundation for Florida's Future, a pro-charter school lobbying group founded by former Governor Jeb Bush. She says the fact that charters and magnet schools come out on top shouldn't be a surprise.
Parents and students have a choice of whether or not they're going to send their child to that school. It makes sense that competition through choice produces higher performing schools.
But the Florida Education Association, a teachers union, is not impressed with the department's newest school measurement tools. Spokesman Mark Pudlow says the rankings are a misuse of the state's FCAT test, and he questions the intent behind the move.
And to use a standardized test that was never designed to do any of these kinds of things, and use it as a cudgel against school districts, against teachers, against schools, and against students, it's a misuse of what this test is supposed to do, and it doesn't really serve anybody in the public schools.
Pudlow was also concerned about the disproportionate number of charter and specialty schools at the top of the lists. He says the state has put more emphasis on those schools, leaving traditional public schools at a competitive disadvantage.
You know, if the idea is to blow up the public school system and turn it all over to for-profit charter school entities, well then, yeah, maybe that makes sense, but that's not what everybody's saying they're going to do.
And other public school officials say the lists aren't a fair way to compare schools, and that the state should break out which schools are charters and which ones are traditional public schools. In a letter to school districts before the release of the list, the Florida Association of District School Superintendents said it had been in contact with the governor and commissioner about the need to incorporate additional measures into the ranking scales, and that the governor was receptive to the idea. But the foundation's Levesque says while things like socioeconomic status of an area does play a role in education, she doesn't believe those factors should be used as excuses.
I'm looking at number 16, a school in Osceola that is ranked number 16th in the state that has 87% of their students are minority, 65% of the students are free and reduced price lunch. So I think there are schools that can succeed very well because something really fantastic is happening at that school.
The state's top schools are West Melbourne Elementary School for Science in Brevard, Archimedean Middle Conservatory in Dade, Okaloosa's Collegiate High School at Northwest Florida State College, the Sanibel School in Lee County, and Pineview School in Sarasota. For WFSU-FM, I'm Lynn Hatter.